Blog Talk Radio.
Glowing red, the bed of coals, the poet is born. Our story is riddled with challenges and changes, like blows from a blacksmith's hammer, bent and chiseled into shape. If only forging a poet were that easy. Emotional development, relationship, experiences, environment, genetics, all take hand in molding the immature adult we are today. That was a joke. Come on, we're on the air.
So welcome to the Double Helix, where we examine the X's and Y's on a show celebrating the human experience, where your true colors are what ties the room together. So get comfortable, because what you're about to hear is poetry that we are made of.
I'm the Duke of St. Paul, Dexter Bailey.
And I'm Aphasiana. We will be featuring poems from our contest on the website allpoetry.com. We are part of a group on the website called Late Night Poets. If you are in the group, you can follow along the chat to read the poems as we do for the full experience. However, you do not need to be in the group to contribute poems, call in, or listen.
Thank you, Fill My Eyes from Late Night Poets, and thank you, Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Dexter, for hosting with me, and to everyone who contributed poems or called in. Your writing is what we are here for.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Double Helix. I know, I don't sound like Aphasiana, nor do I sound like Dexter. So, what I can tell you is Aphasiana is not feeling well tonight. And, well, Dexter, he's MIA right now. So, in their stead, we have Richard Weissman. Hello, Richard, and welcome to the party.
Hey, Teen, how are you doing tonight?
I got a little nervous. I thought I was on mute somewhere. I'm doing good.
No,
doing
I
good.
Hear you.
Oh, God. Yeah, I get scared when I get a little quiet. I'm like, oh, no. I always count on Rex to say, are you mutating? Or Pam. She's another good one to keep me in line. And speaking of Pam, hello, Pam. How are you tonight?
I am doing great. Good to hear you both. Hi, Richard. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Pam.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm looking forward to when I get my internet back, but, you know, I'm
Are you doing this all
what?
On a telephone, Pam?
Well,
she's
I don't really have
blind.
Internet on my telephone. I am, yeah. Like, I'm just, you know, I've had people, Rex actually text messaged me the poem for this show so I could read along. And,
Thank heavens.
Cool.
Thank heavens. So, listen, I'm not sure what's happening because I don't know. There's a board, so I guess we can work it, huh, Pam? I know you
Absolutely.
Can't drop links. I can drop links. I know you can run comments. And we have Richard here because he's the guru tonight.
Yeah,
I'm not
I will be perfectly honest. Normally, if it's my show, I've read all the poems beforehand and have comments already done. But I am going to follow in Rex's footsteps. He just wings it, and he does an amazing job doing that. I don't know if I'm going to be as good as him, but I, too, am going to wing it.
I was going to say those are big footsteps to follow.
I know.
Gosh. No, so this is interesting. We're all blind, okay? I don't know nothing.
Yeah.
Can't see nothing. Richard, you haven't read anything. We're good. It's all good. It'll be fun. It will definitely be fun. Okay, so Pam, do I understand it that you have all the poems from here?
I believe so. I mean, I don't have the board memorized, but I'm hoping that's what Rex did.
Exactly. Get fresh about it now.
Mm-hmm.
No,
yeah.
I'm just figuring
and Pam?
I have them all done.
Yeah, and Pam, just so you know, I did actually add a poem. If the board is light, if you need it, I put something up there. So.
Oh, awesome. I'll get you to read yours before you leave, Richard,
okay.
I think. Yes. That's what I'm going to do. So normally, but since nothing is normal, normally I would have one of us read the first poem, but I'm going to put the first one up, and it's a sound clap because I have two by Gerald Green. So I'm going to put that one up,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to play that one first, and then we're going to move forward. So this one is called Insignificance by Gerald E. Green. And here we go.
Welcome to Gerald Green Poetry. Insignificance, written and read by Gerald Green. Since I've become a poet, I admit some things have changed in ways too difficult to tell, too complex to understand. Postmodern minds attuned to sports and crass celebrities discuss with meaningless ad nauseam actions of the insignificant. While others party with their friends, laughing with incessant vim, I sit alone, an exalancic figure, by the piano, listening. I sip my drink, enjoy the music, allowing rest to have its way, relaxing in my hidden world. All else seems insignificant. It matters not the time or place, or what is served in mugs and cups. The same thing happens every time, as noise blurs into background. The trick is learning how to cope, letting trifles move ahead, and find the gem on every stage, ignoring insignificance.
Mm-hmm.
Visit YouTube for more Gerald Green poetry.
There we go.
Wonderful reading right there, Gerald. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. Now, I am actually, well, I'm a huge fan of all late night poet shows, but I will say that as far as poetry, though, that really, you know, touches the heart and lets you get to know people. Double Helix is one of my favorites for that because, you know, they ask for rights that are from your own personal experience. And I think Gerald does a wonderful job with this. I should mention, while I don't know the specific quotes, I believe most of the prompts tonight are quotes from Star Wars characters, but you aren't supposed to write a Star Wars write just about like a Star Wars character, but take the quotes, the chosen quote, and use it as to write about something personal. So just so people get a general idea. What I really like about this write is the fact that he introduces us to ways in which his mind and his spirit has changed. And I like how he brings in how he has observed. The second stanza really grabs my attention. Postmodern mind attuned to sports and craft celebrities discussed with meaningless and ad nauseum actions of the insignificant. And I sip my drink, enjoy the music, allowing rest to have its way, relaxing in my hidden world. All else seems insignificant. I love those lines. I love how they talk about how being a poet is about being in tune with your inner self, your inner peace, and coming to an understanding of that rather than always having to be part of the world that can oftentimes be negative and gossipy and focused on you know what every celebrity is doing. You know, so just an excellent write and very well done. And Richard, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, Pam, you picked the passage that I too was drawn to. I love this. Postmodern minds attuned to sports and craft, celebrities discuss with meaningless ad nauseum actions of the insignificant. And boy, if that didn't hit the nail on the head, I love how he pokes fun at postmodern attention to the insignificant. The modernist era, James Joyce and T.S. Eliot, they really tackled the big issues, the meaning of life, what was the purpose of living in the 20th century, how we could make meaning after the destruction of World War I and that type of total war. By contrast, postmodernism said, the hell with it. Let's just go in and discuss the ordinary every day. And we kind of have lost the beauty of modernism. And he really kind of hits the nail on the head talking about sports and craft celebrities and reminding us that there used to be a different type of literature. That it doesn't have to be this attention to insignificance, that life doesn't have to be boiled down to this meaningless, petty pursuit. So I thought it was a great call to the hearkening to the angels of our better nature. Very well done, as you said, Pam. Great job.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. I like that thought on how, you know, it doesn't have to be whittled down. So excellent comment. And Jean, I am curious what prompt Gerald wrote to, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on the poem.
Well, I know when I heard you say that, I went and I looked. And his poem is listed under the word excellensis, tendency to give up trying to talk about an experience because people are unable to relate to it. Yeah, I assume that it was set up that way for with an intent.
Yeah,
purpose,
well, I
so.
Think that Viviana ran another contest where there was a couple words
yep.
as prompt. We do remember seeing that on her topic board.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, so
right.
There was that. There was two poems listed under that one, so I should have thought to say something when I put this poem up. But I think Gerald did a great job with this poem. I think that it was very well expressed. And the two stanzas that you quoted, Pam, were, the postmodern minds attuned to sports and crass celebrities discussed with meaningless ad nauseum actions of the insignificant. And then, you know, it goes on to sip my drink, and it says, all else seems insignificant. But I really love the way he tied this up. The trick is learning how to cope, letting trifles move ahead, and find the gem on every stage, ignoring insignificance. So, I thought that he did a great job pulling it all together in that last stanza and really saying what was most important. So, excellent work, Gerald, and I want to thank you for sharing with everybody tonight. Excellent job.
Absolutely. I like, Jean, that you mentioned that ending because it really does wrap things up nicely. You know, like with the whole concept, the idea of, you know, learning to be focused, you know, on things that matter and not so much on the insignificant. So, great comment. And what do you got for us next?
Well, I may as well finish out that thought with excellences. I hope I'm saying it right because I have no clue. You should come with the phonetic pronunciation included. That's what I'm going to say. Okay, the next one I'm going to put up, I guess I can read this one because that's just the way it's going to be, I think. Okay. And someday it'll go over there. I hit the send button. There we go. This one is called, it doesn't say what it's called on this. Let me open it up. Oh, it's called Whore by Nightfall Vixen. Wow, that's not even a name on the thing. Well, that's okay. I mean, the poet name is what I meant by that. All righty. Whore. Oh, gallows to the hunt for my excellences. Vultures feasting on my river where hang the balance of red light. They scream, Satan, witch, whore. I'm just lonely in this chaotic chamber. This Amazonian birdhouse of diabolical pets wrapped in gross rot. I'm not a slave, but a worshiper of the sun on this pitiful moon. Where to behold a halo is to betray these ratchet Latin bitch hoes. I swim, around this canopy to tie offspring of realm and weep as she sits on my face to the road of ecstasy, in which my every outcry of horror, from smells to unkempt to fathom that has made me mad with contempt. I must leave, but to where? How about nowhere? How about anywhere? Everywhere? Depression is shot dead by modus and exodus to grow alone with a favor from my favorite whore. Come. End poem.
Great reading, Jean. And definitely a powerful emotive write in language. And I'm very curious about what the word modus means. So, Richard, if during sharing your thoughts you're able to tell me what the word modus means, I'd really appreciate it. So let's hear your thoughts, Richard.
Okay. So this is my first time looking at this, but I will say so you had a question about the word modus, as in like modus operandi, right? The mode of operation. Right? But I will say that this poem struck me as almost like that show that you guys do where it's all, you know, very racy and enticing and sensual. So it had that vibe to it with a little bit more like on the side of dirty, just on the edge. And you know, there was some humor there. It tied in quite well. And in the middle of it, there seemed to be a call to reverence for sexuality and the human experience. That here is, you know, someone experiencing what it means to be human in the most raw sense of the word, reproduction, and they are being shamed for it. They scream Satan, witch, whore. I'm just lonely in this chaotic chamber. So I thought that there was a redemptive aspect, you know, making fun of it, but beneath that comedy, beneath it all, beneath the pain even, was a call to be recognized and honored for being human and experiencing and you know, honoring the human experience in the form of sexuality. So anyway, that's what I got out of it.
I like that thought, and I can totally see that. And yeah, it does have that slight tinge of Black Lace Diaries, especially with that end line. And I think the theme you brought up, the acceptance of humanity, especially in terms of sexuality, can be expanded to go to not only sexuality but spirituality. You know, within this, like, you could take this very literally. You could say literally this is a poem about a witch. You know, you could think of the Salem witch trials, which were an atrocious time in history, where it was so easy for a woman to, or a man or woman, but it was majority of women to be accused of witchcraft. Or you could say it's about somebody who follows, like, say, the Wiccan religion and is judged for it. But I think it's about that being judged for anything, being judged for your sexuality, being judged for your spirituality, your beliefs, or the beliefs that you choose not to have. And the idea that, you know, that there are those who want you to stay within a box, to stay within the norms of their so-called, you know, well, their so-called norms. And I like the strength of saying, I am not a slave, but a worshiper of the sun on this pitiful moon. I swim around this canopy tide, offspring reel and men weep as she sits on my face in a world of ecstasy in which my every outcry of horror from smells too unkempt to fathom. You know, there is a very visceral and raw imagery within those lines, and the idea of no matter how ugly anybody else thinks it is, remaining true to yourself. So excellent right here. And Jean, share with us your thoughts and then bring us to the next poem.
Absolutely. I think this was a great take on the prompt itself. Because, you know, the definition of exelantis, as I said, was tendency to give up trying to talk about an experience because people are unable to relate to it. And, you know, the topic of the poem was definitely not relatable to everyone. So I think that it stretched it out just far enough where people would go, huh? You know, like... So I think it was a clever take on that prompt, very much so. And nice job. Mm-hmm. Okie doke. Now I can figure out where I'm going next. Okay, we're moving on to another word. This is dasania, the state of finding it hard to get out of bed in the morning. Oh, I should know that word well. Okay. Honest to gosh, I bet you if I looked in the dictionary, my picture would be on that one. Okay. Richard, I'm going to ask you to read this next one by Daniel Deschino.
Okay. Okay. So this is called The Past and Future Self by Daniel Deschino. Dasania grows each day as a coral reef building a city for a nice soft swim. A safe haven from the vast, mostly empty ocean that surrounds. Cold, indifferent, filled only with either predators or those that just swim by. And the reef grows daily, harder and harder to get out of bed, awake or asleep. Those realms of awareness blend as the swirling breaths of lovers and mirth, perhaps a training for the forever sleep when I merge with the coral I am and have built. And my breath solidifies, then I will feel safe forever. But I can't stagnate. I have to get up. The audience of voyeurism to my stage show screams in my subconscious. It is so hard to coach my own performance. I just can't handle the critics anymore, even though interest is dying and reviews are fleeting. Self and self excelling. The bigger the coral reef that I am, the less I seem understood mostly by me. So much to know, so complex the pathways within, every experience a piece in the unique puzzle that I am. Becoming so much harder for everyone to solve, so easy for people to give up and get bored. Even when I look back on some of the first pieces, I can't remember why I tried to fit the pieces together so different now. Why did I try to solve the puzzle like I did before? Why did I do the things I did? Such a stockpile of embarrassing failure, so frightened of what I'll do next. Especially to those of whom I might attack with my presence. Such a socially venomous creature I have become, poisoning those who come near. If I bite them, they become confused. If they are smart, they stay away. I should listen to the Sesania. Save the world, feed the tree, save the world from me. End of poem.
Wonderful read. Absolutely wonderful read, Richard, and excellent right here by Daniel Duchino. It is Daniel Duchino, right?
Yes.
It is.
Okay. That's, yeah. I find the word dysania interesting because it has the same beginning as the word dystopia. So I imagine they come from the same root word, the beginning of them at least. That's very, very fascinating. Well, I like how he uses the metaphor of a coral reef with the idea that a coral reef never stops growing, and it keeps growing because, you know, things die and solidify and become part of it. I really like, and the reef grows daily, harder and harder to get out of bed. But I can't stagnate. I have to get up. The audience of voyeurism to my stage shows screams in my subconscious. There's, to me, this whole idea within this rite that that we realize the weight of other people depending on us, you know, and sometimes that's all that gets us out of bed. Such a stockpile of embarrassing failures, so frightened of what I'll do next, especially to those of whom I might attack with my presence. There's a lot of weight in those lines, a lot of sadness and emotion it's almost like that idea of a depression that you put on yourself because you feel as if you cannot meet other people's expectations, but truly it's oftentimes our own expectations that we can't meet. So this is just a wonderful personal right, right on spot, I think, for the chosen prompt, and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts on this poem?
Yeah, what you guys said, absolutely. I think it was a great right, and it was very well penned. And I think the emotions were nicely expressed. It really was a fine piece. And I like that he used a couple of the prompts. I don't know if there was any more that I didn't see, because, you know, I didn't see the original contest. But he used the Excellensis and the Dysania, or Dysania, I don't really know. But, hey, you know, let's not, we won't pick apart those syllables. But I think it really was. It was just a nicely written piece. And Dan is very, very good at writing. He has a great way of expressing himself. It's different than most things you read. I think he's one of those people that when you read something and you don't know who it's by, you can kind of spot it a little bit because of the way he expresses himself. There's a few folks like that. I don't know how many. I don't know how many I could catch. But he is definitely one that I think I would notice. So, well done. And great read, Richard. Very nice. Yeah. Okay.
Great
so
comment.
Now,
great comment.
I get to pick on. Thanks, honey.
Hang on. I was going to get Richard's comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know why you asked me second.
Problem.
You get me all
pumped
up. It's okay. Yeah, sure. So I really liked this part. Such a socially venomous creature I have become, poisoning those who come near. If I bite them, they become confused. If they are smart, they stay away. That section, the whole thing was great, and it was a pleasure to read, but that section, to me, had a Dostoevsky Notes from Underground vibe to it. It was existential, dark, compelling, just a really great piece of dark poetry. Really well done.
Absolutely. And you're right, it is very existential. So excellent comment there. And all right, Jean, what do you got for us next?
Well, the next one I'm going to put up is for you, Ms. Pam. It's called Dysania by Sidney Pierce. So it might take you a minute to find it, and I understand that.
I've got it right here.
All right.
All right. Dysania. The world is cold and uninviting, but these blankets are so warm. The mailman came today shoveling letters and tiny packages into an already overflowing box. It's been a week. The landlord rang me on the phone today. The neighbors are starting to complain. My grass is too tall and the fences are broken. It's been 2 weeks. My body pops and creaks like old floorboards. My skin is a pallid yellow. My bones are stiff and brittle. But these blankets are so warm. And poem. What a wonderful write there. And Richard, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I love the way that Sidney writes. She's always quite accessible and is very relatable. And there's a subtlety to it, you know, the simplicity, the relatability. It's all very kind of hypnotic. And you know what it reminds me of is Emily Dickinson. Like, for example, I Could Not Stop for Death, where it's also simple and relatable, and yet there's something really dark. It's almost like she gently leads you into this dark abyss, and before you know it, you're just swallowed up by it. And that's what this poem did for me, especially that last stanza. My body pops and creaks like old floorboards. My skin is a pallid yellow. My bones are stiff and brittle, but these blankets are so warm. You know, just you're right there with her in the midst of this abyss, and yet she makes it so inviting, and it's written so well that you don't mind staying there. So that's what I got.
Absolutely, and I like that, you know, and I have to agree with you. I think comparing her poetry, this poem specifically to Emily Dickinson, in the way that it's got that lovely, straightforward language that is relatable, And that it's got that darkness, but it's something that you can relate to. Was a really great observation. So well said there. And Jean, your thoughts.
Well, you know, I thought this was really clever and a well-done piece. I think that, you know, as you're reading it, you know, you're watching things all just come undone in the world because, you know, she's just staying in that bed. But yet she stays there because her blankets are so warm. You know, she feels comforted by those even though everything else seems to be going wrong or going awry or falling apart, depending on which way you look at it. And yeah, I'm with you, Richard. I like that last, that very last stanza. I thought kind of tuned it all in because now she, the body is now failing. You know, it's not just the grass and the mail not being picked up. Now all of a sudden it's physical ailments because, you know, the time that's passing by. But very clever, very, very clever piece and well expressed. So nice work, Sydney, very much so. And congrats on the bond. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great comment there, Jean. Yeah, I really liked this whole thing, but especially that end stanza. And I also really related to the mailman came today shoving letters and tiny packages in an already overflowing box. It's been a week. I know for me when I struggle with depression, oftentimes the mail gets ignored. And I like how you brought up, Jean, the idea that oftentimes physical ailments and emotional ones like depression can be connected, you know. So
yep.
Really just wonderful right here and very well done. And what do you got for us next, Jean?
No, I'm not real sure, but I'm going to give it a whirl. I'm going to put this next piece up. And this is under the same word, Tasania. And this is called Addiction by Min Skinny. I don't know, M.N. Skinny. We'll try it. And I'm going to read this one. Addiction. I really need to quit drinking, he states every week. But this weekend is a free-for-all. It doesn't count because... And you can fill in the blank with any excuse. I really need to get things done, but today is not that day. Today the bottle wins, and he doesn't feel bad because he's already feeling good. Addiction is battle that many people fight, and if you are ill-equipped to battle, you will lose. Once again, she watches helplessly, supporting with her love, willing him the power to finally overcome. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Jean. And this is a strong write. And I, you know, I think one of the many privileges we have as poets is to write about topics that are difficult, topics where people, you know, need to know that other people relate to what they have gone through or are still going through. I think one of the all-time most powerful shows Afasiana and Dexter ever had was when they did the topic of addiction. You know, I really like how in the first stanza it says it doesn't count because, and you can fill in the blank with any excuse. They don't give their excuse. They make it, they help the reader to put their own personal experience in. And addiction is a battle that many people fight, and if you are ill-equipped, the battle you will lose. And that is so true. I mean, I've been fortunate in my life to not really struggle with addiction, unless you count coffee and chocolate. But so far, I didn't. But I do know people who have struggled with it, and that you oftentimes do need a support system in place. I think this is just a wonderful write and very well done. And Richard, your thoughts?
Yeah, so this is one of those topics that is ever in the forefront. I like to say it's the other pandemic, and it's the one that we have no vaccine for. Once again, she watches helplessly, supporting with her love, willing him the power to finally overcome. And I thought it was a strong write on substance addiction and the struggles that impact not only addicts, but also those who love and support them. And, you know, there's no final answer, even though the poem ends on that up note of finally overcome. Instead, it's a daily reprieve. And, you know, one day at a time, as they say, becomes many days and finally months and eventually, if we're fortunate, years of sobriety. So I thought it was all very nicely framed in 93 words. It was accomplished quite well.
Oh, absolutely. And excellent comment there. And Jean, share with us your thoughts and then bring us to the next poem.
Okay. Well, we all know I'm a woman of few words, so I'm going to say it this way. Very well done. I thought it was a strong piece about an addiction, and I thought it was nice work. But what I am going to do is I'm going to read Dex's comment on this. This is a very strong write, and I appreciate the voice and the angle behind it from that of a person watching a loved one in addiction. Painful and poignant. So, you know, I thought that was worth repeating. And well done. Nice piece. And my next trick, for my next magic trick, I have a piece for Richard. Okay, Richard. This one is put out by Hardships by Ernie. And this is based on a prompt. Let me read you the prompt. In a dark place, we find ourselves, and a little more knowledge lights our way. By Yoda.
Nice. Great prompt. Okay, so yeah, this is Hardships by Ernest. For every person, there are moments when the hardships are accumulating and difficulties are paving all the paths. Disturbing troubles seem to never end. Discomfort and fatigue is all they feel, and pushing them beyond their limits while both mentally and physically are worn out and feel the tension building up. It is the chance that everybody needs to find new opportunities to grow, acquire skills and knowledge to improve, becoming better than they were before. And then, through work and effort, they can make the changes there were needed so they could pursue their dreams and wishes and succeed, bring happiness and joy in their life. End of poem.
Nice read.
Wonderful read there, Richard. And Jean, your thoughts on this poem?
Well, I thought this was a really great take on the prompt. You know, in the dark place we find ourselves. You know, and the first two stanzas of this definitely address that. You know, for every person there are moments when hardships are accumulating and difficulties are paving all the paths. Disturbing troubles seem to never end. You know, we start there, and then you get to that third stanza, and it addresses the second part of that quote. And a little more knowledge lights our way. You know, it is a chance that everybody needs to find new opportunities to grow, acquire skills and knowledge to improve, becoming better than they were before. So I think this was really well suited to the prompt. And, yeah, just a really nice job.
Absolutely. I have to agree. And, you know, I really like that these stanzas that you pointed out. And it is. It's very well suited to the prompt. And so excellent comment. And Richard, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was really quite well suited, as you both correctly stated. Taking us through the journey from darkness into the light, especially in that final victorious stanza, and then through the work and effort they can make the changes that were needed so they could pursue their dreams and wishes and succeed, bring happiness and joy in their life. It was a good arc that brought us into that victorious and inspiring close. Well done.
Absolutely. I did like... There was a wonderful message to this. This actually kind of reminded me of, and I can't think of the exact quote, but a quote of that of Mother Teresa's that talks about the importance of taking care of people, of, you know, taking care of people's needs and being there for those who are suffering. And she probably had more than one quote about that subject, but, you know, it made me think of that, and it really made me think how oftentimes, you know, when people are struggling with homelessness or looking for jobs or, you know, trying to make ends meet, it's difficult. Or even kind of that idea of, you know, if people can't afford schooling or if they can't afford to basically take care of their basic needs, how are they going to feel like they can take time to learn? You know, so just a really wonderful, thoughtful write all the way through, and very well done. And what do you got for us next, Jean?
Well, Pam, I need you to read this next one for us. It's called The Lantern in Me by Pam Wright.
Aha.
Mm-hmm.
I know her.
Yeah.
All right. And, Richard, when I'm done reading this, if you'd be so kind as to gather comments, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. The Lantern in Me. Throughout my life, through pain and strife, I have found myself in places dark, a mind that struggles to light a spark beyond the shadowed dreams where the past becomes a taunting scream. I have tried to see that light in me, the candle flame that sets me free, free from the chains of depression that chokes me like a burdened lesson. And sometimes I know, sometimes my sight sees that inner glowing light. And how I wish that every day the lantern lit could lead the way, but often darkness does surround and pulls my spirit into the ground, where I must learn and stop to see the strength within the hurting me. End poem.
Great read.
Wow.
Great job.
Absolutely. What a poem. I sometimes forget, because you do so much free verse, Pam, exactly how skilled you truly are as a rhyming poet. And what a great fit, because so much of Yoda's dialogue in the Star Wars screenplays is either rhyming or highly lyrical. So I love how you kind of ran with that and allowed that to kind of, I guess, pun intended, light your way through the dark place. It just really, for me, hit it right on the head. It was just a perfect answer to the prompt. And the rhymes, as always, are just so flawless. It's a great one, Pam. Truly inspired work.
Thank you.
And absolutely. And Jean, what'd you think?
Well, you know, Pam, as always, this is an excellent piece. I think that it was a fabulous take on the prompt. And there were so many great references throughout. Like, I was trying to, like, pull a thought together, you know, because that's tough for me some days, I have to say. But throughout my life, through pain and strife, I have found myself in places dark, a mind that struggles to light a spark beyond the shadowed dreams where the past becomes a taunting scream. I have tried to see that light in me, the candle flame that sets me free. Just an awesome, awesome set of thoughts on that prompt, really. But then, you know, you get down to the bottom and it's kind of like, wow, you kind of snuffed out the light there, girl. Like, whoa, 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 no, no, no. But it was a wonderful, wonderful piece. And I think you really, you know, you did. It was a great take on it, and it was just well put together, as always. You know, I have to say I'm a little partial to your writing. I love when you read on the shows, because it's always, I know it's always going to be a wonderful write. So well done. Well done.
Thank you very much. And what do you got for us next?
I don't know. Don't you want to comment on your own piece? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, no, it's not funny. Really.
Whatever. Okay, Richard, I'm going to let you read your piece because I know we're drawing on that hour mark. And
okay.
This morning. Wait a minute.
Yep. So here's the interesting thing was that I did actually read the prompt, and I was like, well, damned if I don't have something for this. So that word about difficulty getting up in the morning, we had done a Cormac McCarthy contest, and the quote was from his novel, The Road. What's the bravest thing you ever did? He spat in the road a bloody phlegm getting up this morning, he said. And if ever there was a prompt that fit tonight's contest, I was figuring that that's the prompt. So the poem that I wrote is called This Morning. A waste was yesterday's coveted ivory pearl. The tighter I grasped, the quicker they fell to fathomless ocean's floor. I wanted no needed wholeness, which came wrapped in that lifelong pearly pursuit. So I wept, then slept among these jagged gray shoreline rocks. The salty trickling of red filled dawn's mouth till I spat a bloody phlegm. Gingerly, I craned my head, neck, torso away from last night's meek impression, which desecrated these pure white sugar sands, while gulls mocked my still arcing crown. From here, crumpling forward, jack-in-the-box-like, felt easier than pushing further. Still, up I clawed, against elongating shadows of broken dawn, spite wobbly knees and tattered dreams, and stood marble statue tall to face this pitiless day. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Richard. You know, I have to say that I absolutely agree with you. If there was any prompt that would fit with that word, it would be that one there. This is one of those poems that's worth hearing over again. You have a real strength for imagery and metaphors. Like, you read that poem, and I can picture someone sitting at the edge of their bed, waking up in the morning, stretching, holding their head in their hands. You know, you can feel the burden of the aging body, of the aging mind. You know, you get really visceral with the imagery of the blood and the phlegm. Put in a very metaphorical way. And I like how you, like that whole idea that, you know, just getting out of bed is that nearly unattainable pearl that, you know, so just a really a stunning write and very well done.
Thank you.
And Dean, your thoughts?
Oh, Richard, this was just a wonderful write. So well expressed. And, you know, I pulled on that last, the very last stanza, still up I clawed against elongating shadows of broken dawn, spite wobbly knees and tattered dreams, and stood marble statue tall to face this pitiless day. You know, that really nailed the prompt right there. Without any of the rest of it, this actually spoke to that actual prompt, and I think that is just a fabulous ending to it, because it's like up I clawed against elongated shadows of broken dawn. I'm still doing it. You know what I mean? I'm getting up anyway, and I think that was great. Just really a really strong ending on that. Excellent job. Excellent.
Thanks, Gene.
Absolutely. Great comment, Gene. And what do you got for us next?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Dexter's going to call in. He gave me a little note. He kind of nodded off. So we'll forgive you, Dexter. Don't forget to dial the phone. Tell him, Pam. Tell him.
Dexter, dial the phone.
There you go. Pam said so.
Come on in.
That's right. The water's warm. Oh, my gosh. So what am I doing here? Okay, I got to do that because I don't know what the hell I was trying to do. Okay, this next piece I put up is by Versus Goliath. And I don't know, but I'm going to read it. And here we go. It's called Microcosm, Cataclysm, Smoldering. Light shines from the temple of Jed's eye. Servants to anteater, laser saber wielders. Violence is no choice. Defeat the cruelty. Dance with force of pulsing blade embers. Man, the lure and mentors, demanding royalty. If this is the way, hope our children remember. Dawn of Armageddon, reality and accordion. Past, future, pressed together tighter than neutron stars. Dense interaction between material possession. Saving yourself is conformity to massive attractors. Safety is key. No time for moral decisions or to question the grand overarching benefactor. Hold in heartstone the glow of goodwill. Cold, homeless shards of obsidian border it. Cult harvest placed on altar until filled. Soul carved image and of their celestial orbit. Folded origami planets, inorganic stillness. Golden orb at center turns time to record it. Dark matter spreads forever into the endless night. Arc lightning, be the spark of others' infinite light. End poem.
Great read there, Jean, and what a wonderful write by Versus Goliath. Strong imagery and metaphors. And mm-hmm. Richard, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I love this opening. Light shines from the temple of Jed's eye. Servants, anteater, laser saber, wielders, violence is no choice. Defeat the cruelty, dance with force of pulse, blade, embers. Man, the lore, and mentors demanded royalty. If this is the way, hope our children remember. I thought that it was so clever because if you're a Star Wars fan, there was all sorts of literary allusions embedded in there to draw you in. And if you've never seen one of the movies, it still worked and drew you into the poem, which stands on its own merit. So I thought it was just very clever, very well done.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to agree. Yeah, and you're right, those very clever references, like light shines from the temple of Jed's eye, the name Jed, and then E-Y-E, very, very clever. I like how this idea of when you find a way, a path of light, when you find a path of enlightenment, it's something you want to share with the next generation. It's something you want the next generation to remember. I really also liked where he says, hold in hearthstone the glow of goodwill, cold homeless shards of steam border it, cold harvest place an altar until filled soul-carved image of their celestial orbit. There's that real idea to me of helping other people, of spreading the light, also dawn of Armageddon, reality in an accordion. I like the idea of reality being an accordion, meaning that it's flexible, meaning that it can change given, the conditions put upon it. So excellent right here and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, I thought it was a wonderful write by Versus. His prompt on this one was, luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. And I think that he addressed that in a great fashion here, and just a really wonderful piece. And I also want to let everybody know, Dex is here. And so
welcome. Thank you.
Glad you could join us.
Welcome.
Hey, Dexter.
Thank you. Glad I could be here. Thank you, everybody, for your marvelous job you did filling in.
Well, it was a good thing we were here, let me tell you. I'm sitting here going, where's Dex? Where's Dex? I said, oh, thank God there's three.
Early evening poet. I was the early evening poets, not late night poets. So
you better look up that name. That name is something different. But it's late everywhere, you know, at one point in time or another. It's always late night somewhere.
Yep.
5 o'clock, yep. But definitely good to have you. And Naomi, it's good to have you here, too.
Yeah. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Naomi.
Naomi.
All right. So I'm going to guess at this point that Dexter will be taking over leading comments.
All right,
go.
I can. Who was left on this one? I know that Pam filled a great job reading it. Richard
oh, yeah.
Get the comment. Right.
Yep, Richard
commented. Yeah, Richard
commented.
And I gave a nice short comment. And now it's up to you and Naomi if you heard the piece. So I'm not really sure who
did. Well, let's start with Naomi.
Yeah, well, I read over it quickly. You know, for us, you know, I love the way that it encompasses, you know, the whole idea of Star Wars with all the references throughout it, but also attacks that prompt so brilliantly. Those two lines there, dark matter spreads forever into an endless night, arced lightning, be the spark of others, infinite light. That's a wonderful, that could be a quote on its own. It's just an amazing line right there. So well written, well said.
Very good comment there, Naomi. Yeah, I thought that this was an incredible poem. As I heard Richard say, it could stand kind of on its own. It had a lot of good Star Wars references. And I couldn't help but think almost kind of, I guess, a macrocosm or something, a way that this kind of almost is referring to a poet and a poet's strength and how it creates inside us. And so I thought this was a fantastic add to the evening and a very well done good take on the prompt. So thank you, Versus. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you, Richard.
Thanks, Richard. I appreciate you calling in for me, Richard. Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, the next one I'm going to put up, needless to say, Dex, you're turning the barrel.
Yep.
This is Chasing the Truth by Dan Murphy.
All right, perfect. Put me to work here. This is Oil Can Murphy. This is Facing the Truth. Truth has many faces, dependent mainly on our own. Live, grow, hurt, heal. Eventually truth congeal. Truth found wearing a veil, our noble quest to uncover. Nonetheless, without fail, truth always wearing another. Evidence my truth is truth. Raw data, truth revealed, selecting slices of supercilious subset, truth still very much concealed. To the victor goes the truth, a molding of for personal benefit, each emphasis showing a bias, debating to make it fit. It seems some truth we know, inhabiting the same earthen boat. Hold on, help one another. Together we all can float. End poem. And that was to prompt number two. Many of the truths we cling to depended greatly on our point of view. So thank you, Oil Can Murphy. Why don't we start with Naomi on comments?
I think that the biggest truth in here is the most important one, and he states it in that last stanza, hold on and help one another, and together we all can float. You know, that's one of the most important truths that we must believe in to survive as a society. And, you know, people all over the world, you know, the countries together. So if that truth was with everybody's, in everybody's point of view to see that truth, well, things would go a lot better in the world today. So, yeah, it's amazing right here by Oil Ken Murphy.
Great comment, Naomi. Yeah, I can't help but feel that this poem was somewhat directed at, you know, the United States as a whole, us as a nation, kind of somewhat European settlers and things of that nature. You know, we've been kind of the catalyst, I guess you could say, in recent times, in the recent 500 years of going around the globe and, you know, taking land and doing things of that nature and then writing our own truths in our history books and refusing to kind of acknowledge it until recent times. Recent times, you know, has brought on about us sharing a little schools and everywhere else being a little bit more implemented on what sometimes the ugly truth is on the reality of our history. So I thought that this was a very telling piece, and I thought it was very appropriate for the direction of kind of this day and age and where we're heading. So very well done. Let's go. Phil, can we get a comment from you?
Excuse me. You know, I think these words were well penned, and it comes from a direction that, you know, I don't think I was really like looking for, but there are crossovers to what goes on in the world today, personal truths, I mean, and as well. I mean, he really did nail this prompt. I mean, all kinds of truths were hit upon in this, right? You know, many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our point of view. And it's the truth, because how we look at everything is all about, you know, what we believe or what we think as an individual. You know, you can't sell me a bill of goods if I'm not, you know, willing to accept it. So I think that it's pretty incredible and very, very well done. Very well done piece.
Great comment, Phil. Yeah, what's that saying, that there's your point of view, my point of view, and then there's the truth or whatever, you know, there's something somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, but usually his story, her story, and then the truth, you know, when you hear it that
way.
Yeah,
there you go.
You know, that's always what it is, yep.
Yep, so great comment, Phil. Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I really appreciate and enjoy this one. I like what you all had to say. I like how Naomi kind of touched on the idea that we need to be respectful of each other's truth. And you went into the history and the social issues, and I have to agree with that. You know, there needs to be a broader aspect of what is taught, including the ugly truth in history. And I like, Jean, how you touched on the idea of how we kind of have to find our own truth. I really liked this all the way through. I think it's a wonderful write, and I hope we get to see more poetry by him. And truth found wearing a veil, our noble quest to uncover, nonetheless without fail, truth always wearing another. I like those lines and the idea that if you think of like truth as the seeking of knowledge, that we're always constantly looking to be fulfilled with knowledge, be fulfilled with truth. But it isn't a single layer. There's multiple layers to the whole concept of truth. You know, so just an excellent write and very well done.
Okay.
Great comment, Pam. Hey, Gray. Looks like we got Gray out there. I don't know if he's calling in or not.
Yeah.
But hello, Gray.
Hey, Gray.
Welcome aboard.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Dex. Hi, Pam, Naomi.
Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Glad to have you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, let me, wow.
No, did you get a chance to hear that last piece? I know you're coming in late, so I didn't,
but it sounds very intriguing based off of your comments. I'm going to have to go reread it.
Yeah, not a problem. I know it's kind of tough coming in on a, you know, and then having to comment right away, so I appreciate it. So, and where are we heading to next here, Phil?
Okay, the next one I'm going to put up, I'm going to ask Naomi to read. And this is called Well Done by Proxstone. Proxstone or Proxstone? My eyeballs are shut.
Okay.
So whatever.
So this is this is Well Done. The lonely star floats away, a dead star, some might say. I tend to cling to my perspective. I better think, not retroactive. Some things change, some others remain the same. The thing is that most just claim that we are only bearers of one name. The truth is we are part of a grander thing. We belong to the cosmos. We belong to everything. Well done. That is not just well said. I'd rather trusted by the rest. It's rather trusted by the rest, sorry. And he wrote to prompt number 2, many of the truths that we cling to depend greatly on our point of view. And
awesome job reading that one, Naomi. Thank you. Great. Can we go to you for comment?
Fantastic job reading that, Naomi. But, you know, the poem has insight, you know, in its presentation. I mean, the theme is we are part of a grander thing. We belong to the cosmos. We belong to everything. Well done. That's not as well said by the rest. You know, that really is an impactful poem.
Great comment there, Gray. Pam, could we go to you?
Absolutely. I wanted you to call on me first so I could say, I think this poem is well done, and then leave my comments in.
Oh, my gosh.
Perfect.
But no, I really did like this one. I like it how the main messages particularly comes through in the end stanza is that everything of this universe is connected, that we are a part of a bigger picture. There's a wonderful spiritual essence to this, right? I like I think to cling to my perspective, I tend to cling to my perspective has a very confessional style idea to it, you know, in the way that, you know, that kind of admitting one's flaws or where one has to learn to grow. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Are you like your steaks well done, Pam, or are you kind of a little bit more raw on your steak?
Oh, yeah. I am definitely more raw. I like my meat to I don't want it to moo when I stab it, but I do want it to bleed a little.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I wasn't sure if you're a well done kind of gal or not. So, Phil, why don't we go to you for comment?
So, you know, I think this was a very interesting piece, and I thought it was well done. Ha, ha, ha. But a great job. And nicely penned. Yeah, right, exactly. Well, you know, I say it all the time, so I fell right out of my mouth. But I have to agree with Gray. I pulled on that last stanza as well. The truth is we are part of a grander thing. We belong to the cosmos. We belong to everything. Well done. That is not just well said. It's rather trusted by the rest.
great ending stanza there. So nice work, Croxton.
Great comment, Phil. Yeah, I can't help but think about, you know, that I tend to cling to my perspective. I better think not retroactive. You know, it reminds me of just like seeing older poems or just older things that I've done in life and kind of almost bringing you back in time to when your perspective was different, like how much different we are now than we were 10 years ago. And all of a sudden you're kind of clinging to now your newer perspective, right? Your perspective is something that's kind of always reshaping and thinking as we go along here. And so some things always change. I thought that this was a fantastic brevity and very, very well done. Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, well, the line that keeps sticking out on me is that we are all bearers of one name. And I think that rejoins what you just said there, Dexter, with, you know, that we all make the same mistakes. We all grow in the same way. We're all human, you know. We're all part of people on this earth that live and breathe and, you know, so that our point of view, you know, and our truths rejoin each other at some point, you know, because we're all a part of this great universe, like everybody else said. So very well written brevity here, very deep thoughts in it, and well written. So bravo, Proxdem.
Great comment, Naomi. And where are we heading to next, Phil?
Well, next one I have is for Gray Eyes. So, Gray, whenever you're ready, this one is Drunk and Fighting by Mindful.
My kind of poem. Okay. We ordered pizza and some change, but when I came back to her, she was acting rather strange, a little drunk and more disturbed. So I throw a little tantrum and toss her phone a bit. Sometimes I'm not so numb, dumb, but tonight I'm full of shit. My pride has got me reeling, and hers has gone to bed. Tomorrow I'll be feeling all the stupid shit I said. So I apologize tonight, dear, for the dumb. Just know that another night nears, and I'm still here next to you. End poem.
Great read there, Gray. And Naomi, why don't we start with you on comments?
Yeah, well, this is kind of straightforward, eh? you know, he's just reciting, I guess, you know, one night in his life and the regret and, you know, for the way he's acting here. Yeah, and... I think he wrote to the prompt, there is more than one sort of prison, Captain. I sense that you carry yours wherever you go. So maybe he feels stuck in this pattern of, you know, getting drunk and fighting. So, yeah, that's what I see in it. So, yeah, great little write by Mindful.
Great comment, Naomi. Yeah, you know, it's kind of an interesting write for somebody named Mindful. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's kind of going back on the name here, right? Being drunk and fighting and then feeling bad for it then the following day, right? I think that, like it says, the prison, the captain, in one sort of prison, Captain, you know, the prison, I think, is just the cycle, you know, being sometimes when you're in these kind of relationships or when you have a history maybe of this kind of behavior where you're drinking a little bit too much with a person and things get kind of volatile, a lot of times the prison becomes that cycle of continued, attitude and just continued repeat offenses of this. So very well done and straightforward here, Mindful. Can we go to Phil with comments?
Sure, sure. I thought this was a well-written piece, and I thought it was intriguing how it tied into the prompt, because the prompt was, there's more than one sort of prison. Captain, I sense that you carry yours wherever you go. And I guess, there's I could see how that pulls together. But the question is the prison, drinking, or is the prison that argument, or is the prison feeling guilty for it? So, that's kind of whichever angle you want to take it on, I guess. But it was clever and it was well written. And, the comment was, the author's notes was interesting. So we were on vacation and both drank way too much. We got crossways with each other. I stormed off, threw her phone after she yelled at me for nothing or something. Who knows? I'm still drunk and writing poetry. So if it sucks, I don't care. And if it doesn't, I don't care. It was therapy tonight. I can dig that. Sometimes you just got to get it out of your system one way or the other. And I think that I think that it worked. I think it worked with that prompt very well. And whatever got him there, nice job.
Yep. Well, luckily, good, great comment, Phil. And luckily, she didn't throw his phone, or else I don't know if he would have been able to write the prompt. So, I'm just going to So, let's go, Pam. What did you think about it?
I have to say that there is a wonderful raw honesty in drunk, angry poetry. I really like and appreciate how straightforward this is. It's very relatable. It's relatable that even if you don't get drunk and have a situation like this, you're still going to eventually, especially in any sort of relationship, a friendship, a romantic relationship, a marriage, whatever, you're going to have that moment where you disagree with each other. And what I particularly liked was the stanza said, my pride has got me reeling and hers has gone to bed. Tomorrow I'll be feeling all this stupid shit I said. We know that eventually we're going to regret it, but we have to say, what we're feeling. I like that he brings up pride, because I think so often, as they say, pride cometh before the fall. And so it really is one of the hugest things we stumble over is our own sense of what we think we're entitled to, that sense of pride, that overblown pride. So excellent write and very well done.
Yeah, and great comment, Pam. And you're right. In the poetry world and in the artist world, kind of the drunk and drinking poet and the thoughts are kind of revered, I guess, in a dark sort of way. And so very, very good comment. Gray, you got to read it. What do you think?
I thought it was a fascinating take on, a day in the life of somebody who's drunk and having a fight with their woman and, tossing phones and all that. It's definitely an insightful poem into a moment in their lives, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Great comment there, great.
Not bad for a drunk guy.
And so, Phil, why don't we go to you next here?
I think I commented already. You want me to put a piece up?
Yeah, go to our next piece. Sorry, I kind of said that open-ended. Why don't we go to you next? Sorry. Put a piece up if you could. Sorry.
Okay, and I sent you a message as well. So the next piece I'm going to put
up
is called...
I'm going to get...
Yeah. Okay, this piece is called Jail of Life by Gerald Green, and I have an audio for that. So here we go.
Welcome to Gerald Green Poetry. Jail of Life, written and read by Gerald Green. You are forced to work the holiday, told when to come and when to go, and paid a wage near minimum, designed to slowly grow. Your spouse expects more than you give, demanding increase without shame, to keep abreast of culture's war and win the marriage game. The preacher says you've got to come, sing in the choir and pay the dues, or fire awaits, eternal pain for those who sin and lose. The coach says play or be expelled, help win the trophy for this year, ignoring injuries again, face danger without fear. Postmodern life has barely changed. It's prison without bars and chains, controlling with confining rules, expecting steady gains. You carry it within your mind, incarcerated every day by culture's rigorous demands that force you to obey. Visit YouTube for more Gerald Green poetry.
Awesome. Awesome piece there, Gerald, and great job plugging yourself there, man. You're picking up quite the marketing strategy here. And I always appreciate Gerald's SoundCloud. He has just a fantastic reading voice. And, yes, people should go check out his YouTube for more Gerald E. Green. Let us start off with... Can we start off with Naomi on comments?
Yeah. Well, he faces, you know, he puts forward, you know, a lot of society, you know, what the demands of society today, the expectations, like you're forced to work, of course, you know, you're spouse, there's expectations in a marriage, expectations, you know, if you're religious, if you go to, you know, your expectations there. And then, you know, if you're playing sports, expectations there again. But I think, you know, the overall message here is just that, you know, there's so many rules. There's so many, you know, there's so many demands. You have to be this way, you have to be that way, and you know, just to be a good. I take the example of just being a good parent. I mean, you know, my daughters and son just had babies last year, and my gracious. There's so many expectations, like so many forums, so many new rules with, you know, the babies, you know, how you'd have to do this, you have to buy this, you have to have this. You know, when we were growing up or when I had my kids, you know, we just had kids and there weren't such pressure. But, you know, today's pressure arrives from every side of you, you know, and it is a prison. It is a jail. You know, you're not free anymore. You just feel that pressure coming from everywhere, right, left, and top and bottom. And just, you know, no wonder there's so many mental problems, you know. They exist today, I think. Boy, you know, it's crazy. But, you know, just a wonderful right here by Gerald, Jail of Life. You know, he attacked those issues right on the nail there. And, yeah, really great right.
Absolutely. I agree with
great,
you there, Naomi.
Great comment there, Naomi. And, Phil, why don't you go right in there next?
Well, I think that Gerald really nailed the prompt. I really do. You know, I don't have the prompt directly in front of me, but I think everybody kind of remembers the gist of it. you know, is just really, really well, lost my entire train of thought. It was very well written, but I think that he pointed out so many great examples of how we are kind of pinned down by society and life and, you know, all these unwritten rules with all the bars. And, you know, it's kind of amazing because when you read it, it kind of brings it to the forefront. The rest of it is kind of like, you need to tuck it in the back. You don't pay a whole lot of attention to it sometimes. You know, sometimes it doesn't feel important, but when you look at it in black and white, it definitely says something there. So anyway, I think that Gerald did a great job. I thought it was a wonderful audio, and he really did a good job with it, really. I enjoyed it. So well done, Gerald.
Great comment there, Phil. And Gray, could we go to you for a comment?
I mean, he has a very commanding voice, you know, his read was spectacular. And, you know, I really like the whole notion of his poem, you know, our lives being prison. And, but I mean, you know, it's either chaos or the prison, you know, we have to all stay within the lines while we're driving, stop at the stoplights and not crash into the people in front of us just because they pissed us off. But, you know, so the freedom to, I mean, there is, we are imprisoned by some aspects of life, but we still have a lot of freedoms and movement that you won't get inside of a real prison, that's for sure, where you're locked up for 23 hours a day, you know, allowed outside for one, and suffering those kind of circumstances, you know. So I'll take this free prison at any time over the real thing, that's for sure.
Great comment there, Gray. And Pam, like, could we go to you for comments?
Yeah, I thought this was a very relatable write, a wonderful, straightforward style. I like how everybody has touched on, and I have to agree that, you know, there is a lot of expectations nowadays of your social life, your parenting, your work. Even your spiritual life has a certain expectation put on it. And it's, to me, all about how you're too oftentimes made to feel like you can't take time for yourself. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Great comment there, Pam. Yeah, I agree. You know, I feel like, you know, we have certain expectations, and so many times are there things in our lives that are a case-by-case, you know, basis, and, you know, they're expected to be pinned into certain select set of rules. And how many times is it that when we're, you know, like you said here, maybe the athlete or whoever it may be, when we're a person and we're having to maybe bend our moral rules and what we know to be right, for the gain that is expected by society, the rule of gain in society here. And so, you know, that right there in itself causes some people, as far as homelessness or falling or dropping off the grid, because they don't agree with society's you know, priority and place where we hold the expectation of gain and adding to the greater good. And so, you know, it's very unappealing to some, so they fall off the grid. But I thought that this was a fantastic write and very thought-provoking by Gerald. So, Phil, that brings me back to you for our next piece.
You know, everything in this world seems to come back to me. What is that? What is that?
There you go. It's the vicious cycle.
Yes, it is. I'm glad somebody else noticed your change.
Yep.
Okay. I got the nice one for you, Jocelyn. That's funny. Okay. Whenever
for who?
Ready,
for Dexter,
man.
You said? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. It's called The Masquerade Parade by G.A. Grimm, Pam.
All right. You'd like me to read that one?
If you don't mind.
Not at all. All right. The Masquerade Parade. I will make you smile and make you laugh, but on the inside to me it feels like a gaff. I pretend to have it together, but I'm falling apart. The race is already over, and I'm about to start. Tired of struggling to get through the day, constantly feeling lost and can't find my way. There is never enough, so I always borrow, using up the courage that's meant for tomorrow. I'm always beat up and I don't even fight. I drown in the dark, yet smile in the light. They say it gets better, but that's just a lie. Nothing changes except the seasons going by. I'm stuck in this room that has no door, bleeding in a trench in my personal war, playing on repeat cruel words that are spoken, just going through this life, jaded and broken. Sometimes the only thing I like about me is when I look in the mirror and hate what I see. I need some help, but I'm too proud to ask, so I go through life wearing a mask and poem.
Nice job.
Great read there, Pam. Thank you very much. Greg, can we start with you on comments?
Yeah, you did a beautiful read on that, Pam. But, you know, the poem is tragic. I mean, somebody who lives life like this is just, you know, beyond miserable. And it's sad, you know, that people get into this state, you know. But it happens frequently, I think, that, you know, people are forced to wear this mask of a smile as they walk in the light, but they're drowning in the dark. You know, you can see all this as you read it. I'm stuck in this room that has no door, bleeding in a trench in my personal war, playing on repeat cruel words that are spoken, just going through this life, jaded, broken. How tragic and sad is that? And, it seems like this comes from a personal place, so I'm glad to see that in our author's notes they said, I just want to say, if you can relate to any of this, life can get better. People will listen. There is help out there, I promise. So give yourself the love you deserve and ask for help. I hope you do. And, that was just a powerful, powerful, dark and gritty poem.
Great comment there, Gray. I'm glad we came to you first on that one. Let's go to Naomi for a comment.
Yeah, well, this is very, you know, an honest write. It comes from a deep place, and I think a lot of people can relate to this. I just loved, you know, some of the lines in here. There is never enough, so I always borrow, using up the courage that's meant for tomorrow. And, you know, that's true if you're, whether you're a victim of intimidation or you're in a big, dark state of depression, you feel like that. You're always tired. He explains this so well, the state that you're in. You know, you're really inside your own mind's prison here. And, so well written and so well expressed. So bravo.
Great comment, Naomi. Yeah, it feels like, the masquerade prison. It's kind of like that saying, or I don't know if there's a saying, but we all know what we're talking about, where it's like in society, talk about the masquerade prison. When people go, hey, how are you? And you go, I'm fine. Or I'm okay, how are you, or whatever. You know what I mean? Just it's almost the societal norm that we have that You know, you don't ask somebody, hey, how are you? Well, you know what? I'm glad you asked because I feel absolutely horrible. Let me tell you how I, you know, people, it's not really quite the norm to go into that. So it is kind of the masquerade prison that we all kind of have to try and stick to those lines. But here he says, I'm stuck in a room that has no door. You know, when you're trapped within yourself and you're trapped within your own mind and your feelings are what are condensing the room together and you're these dark thoughts and you're, you know, being tired and constantly feeling lost. So I thought that this was a very good write and like Gray pointed out, very personal, which is perfect for here at the Double Helix. So G.A. Grimm, I'm glad that you wrote that for our show and our prompt. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Pam. You read that well.
Thank you. And I thought you all had wonderful comments. You know, I have to agree, you know, like Gray said, there is help out there. You know, and but it's difficult. It is. This is, as Naomi says, a relatable poem for anybody who, you know, has gone through depression. You know, I really like how he mentions, or they mention about not feeling like they're using up their courage for the next day, because oftentimes we deal with depression or even anxiety disorders, you know, social anxiety, it takes a lot of courage to even, you know, get out of bed, to open that door and go outside. I also like the use of the word gap. I thought that was very cool. You know, sometimes an individual word just grabs your attention. So just a powerful and emotive write and beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment there, Pam. And Phil, we will go to you for last comment and then take us to our next write.
You got it. I think this was an emotional piece and very well expressed. Well done and a great take on that prompt. So excellent job, G.A. Grimm, and thanks for sharing with everybody. Okay. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I have one more piece by Dan DeShino, and then I asked Naomi, and I asked Gray, and I asked you, Dex, to put a piece up. So I'm gonna ask you to read this, Dex, and then I'm gonna loop around back to you to read yours. So here we go. Whenever
you're
ready.
Not a problem. If we have other rights, let's go to theirs first. As far as I see, Gray posted one and or whatever, however you feel fit to run it. So, I mean, like I said, there's no rush on mine. So,
you got it, buddy.
Okay, this is by Daniel DeShino, Conscious Energy. Memory upon memory, thought upon thought, we build and grow, ebb and flow. History learned, then repeat, advance or retreat. Both from defeat. Billions of battles each day and night. Everyone is wrong. Everyone is right. Defend your spirit. Prepare to fight. Or leave your house to go out in the light. Through my window I see humanity burn, crashing at each other each turn, unable to learn. Fathers and sons repeating in turn. Find those like us and find them fast. To maintain our faith, stay proud, discern the fate lost in the forgotten past. I am the light, I am the dark, and infinitesimal fading spark. I am made from rock and earth, passion, light, dust, rebirth. Fueled from fire and nourished from death, cropped in carnage for reflection and breath. Infant, 1 billion years old, water, carbon, acid, gold. Memory-driven spirit, destined for entropy. I am part of everything. I am conscious energy. and poem. Fantastic, right, Daniel? And Pam, could we start with you on comments?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I really appreciate this, right? I always enjoy Daniel Chino's writing. It's so thoughtful and metaphysical in its way, especially this one. I really like, through my window I see humanity burn, crash in each turn, unable to learn, fathers and sons repeating in turn. I like, that reminds me of that, that line reminds me of that song, Cats in the Cradle. So, and the idea that each generation learns from the next. And I really feel like there is a sense of learning, a sense of somebody learning who and what they are, learning that they're not just, you know, that lump of useless rock. They're energy. They're spirit driven and memory driven, and the importance of the importance of our experiences in life that, you know, shape who we are. And so I really liked "I am the light, I am the dark, an invisible fading spark." The idea of finding balance of who you are. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment there, Pam. And Phil, can we go to you for comment?
Sure. I thought this was just a wonderful write, and I thought it was a great take on the prompt. And I have to agree with the stanza that Pam chose. I am the light, I am the dark, an infinitesimal fading spark. I am made from rock and earth, passion, light, dust, rebirth, fueled from fire and nourished from death, crop and carnage for reflection and breath. An infant, 1 billion years old, water, carbon, acid, and gold. That is just really well put together. Dan has a great way of writing anyway, which we talked about at the very beginning of the show, and this is no exception to that. I mean, it really is just well done. So great thoughts, and it's great expression of them. So, nice job.
Great comment there, Phil. Yes, Phil, yes, very well-crafted piece here. You know, I think that when he says here, the one line that stood out to me, find those like us and find them fast. When talking about unable to learn, a lot of the problem is that, you are unable to learn. If all you're looking for, and now with the internet in this day and age, you can find them. If you come up with some crazy idea, or you think, and your train of thought is maybe biased and skewed, you can find just groups of people that are going to tell you, yeah, that's true. That is the way that it is. And you can find groups of people that are just going to encourage maybe your lack of perspective. And so that hinders your growth so much. Until you realize that you're one with everything. And so this, I think, feels like a very kind of enlightened right on taking that to the next level. So very well done by Daniel. Gray, what did you think?
The off-mute version, Gray.
I'm sorry, I was mutated. he did a fantastic job with his poem. I mean, his rhyme and flow was spot on, and it's deeply insightful, forthright, powerful, and intriguing, introspective poem. Just beautifully written and read, Pam or Dan. Dex.
Yeah, Pam, Dex, Dan. One of us did this one. No, it was a great comment there. great. No, I'm doing it now. All right. So, Naomi.
The passage that both that Phil just read there really stuck out to me. You know, the one where I am the light, I'm the dark. That stanza is really powerful. And, you know, but he rounded it up very well, all his thoughts with, memory-driven spirit destined for entropy. I am part of the everything. I am conscious energy. So I thought that stanza really rounded up the whole poem, you know. But like everybody said, Daniel DeCino, amazing writer, and you know, always a conscious, thought provoking writes, of a consciousness of taking heed of, you know, of something, taking enlightening us upon, you know, the human condition. I think a lot in his poetry, you know. So very well written by Daniel DeCino here.
Great comment there, Naomi. And Phil, back to you for the vicious cycle of what's next.
Well, I'll talk about timing. Let me just tell you, I got tossed off and I had to call back. So, Gray, I have your piece up next. There we go. Whenever you're ready.
Okay. Thank you. I dug this out of the archives. Painted skulls adorn the walls. Painted skulls adorn the walls. Candelabras carry the light. Each candle is lit with prayer and forlorn calls into multidimensional halls to warm and make bright this long December night. I miss you, my brother, John. I continue the fight. And then my author's notes. My brother passed at the tender age of 13 on this night. I was 10. I miss him. End poem.
Wow, very, very powerful brevity. And you know, showing once again why you're kind of known as king of the brevities, I believe, here on Late Night Poets. Let's go with Phil for comments.
Well, Gray, this is really a touching and painful write all at the same time. I mean, you know, it's heartfelt and it shows. You know, you can feel it, that it's there. It's just a respectful piece to your brother. And I think that you did a wonderful job penning this. So, thanks so much for sharing with us tonight. I'm glad
you
pulled this one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I'm glad that you pulled this one out. This is a very heartfelt, right? And it just says so much in a few short lines. You know, how it ends, you know, I miss you, my brother, John. I continue the fight. I continue the fight of life, right? And every day is a struggle. Every day is a fight. But that fight makes it even that much more harder when, you know, for a boxing term, when we lose that trainer or when we lose that coach or when we lose that mentor out of our corner. And we got to continue to fight. So very good right here, Gray, and very well done. Let's go to Pam for comment.
Yeah,
thank
that
you,
is
Dexter.
definitely a strong and emotive brevity. That's the kind of loss that I imagine would stick with a person their entire life. And I love how you proclaim at the end, I love you, my brother. And it's the words are really felt. They really resonate. And the idea of continuing on the fight, that, as Dexter said, that fight of life, really strikes a chord. So just a powerful and emotive write, and very well done, Gray.
Thank you, Pam.
Great comment there, Pam. And Naomi, how about you comment?
Yeah, well, this is, a very emotive, right, but a very powerful one too, because we in those first three lines, we feel all the power that your brother had there. You know, the painted skulls adorn the walls, candelabras carry the light, each candle was lit with prayer and forlorn calls So we feel all the importance that he had, you know, in your life there. You know, those are three so powerful lines. Such a heartfelt, emotive right. And just bravo, Gray.
Thank you, Naomi. Thank you, everybody.
Great comment, Naomi. And back to you, Phil, for maybe our last piece.
Thank you, Dirk. I have a piece here by Naomi, so I'm going to put that one up. And whenever you're ready, Naomi.
Yeah, well, I got this out there. Believe. You just have to believe, and everything is reborn. Everything is remade. Believe at the beginning of a story that nothing happens by chance, and make a new start. Believe no matter how small you are, that life gives you the choice to love beyond yourself, to the immortal of cathedrals, to the stars after the stars. Believe that there is under the dust diamonds in every stone that our hands one day dig up. Believe that in the middle of the desert, a river can flow into the sea, to the Atlantis of Jules Verne, to the pyramids that we raise. To believe, as great as they say, more alive than we imagine, that and depend on a smile that knocks you down, capsizes you, and gives you a future. Believe like a tree that makes its buds in spite of the wind that takes its leaves. Believe in life dressed in mornings. Live in reverse of all those who are afraid to risk one's skin, just like the flowers do when their petals open up to show their hearts. It is enough to believe that endless night becomes new dawn. Happiness seeks to see us again. You just have to believe. And like love, you always win, always have hope, and just believe. When life gives you a hard time, believe in yourself. Stand up to see the victory in spite of everything. To believe in refusing the night. Believe pushing a cry, a huge yes, yes, yes to life. And poem.
Wow, Naomi, this was a fantastic write. You know, the one part that, you know, a lot of times it's like people struggle as far as, you know, what religion and what's this and, you know, what do you believe in? Believe in yourself and then believe in the process of life. Believe in life. Rest in mornings. I thought that this was a fantastic write and very inspirational. Can we go to Pam for a brief comment?
Yes, absolutely. This is brilliant. I love the positive energy of this, the idea of believing in hope, believing in love and life, and believing in yourself. Just absolutely a wonderful write, Naomi, and very well done.
Thank you.
And Greg, can I go to you for a brief comment?
You know, you did a wonderful job reading that, but, you know, I believe I have never felt such affirmative energy woven into a picture of Springfield of tulips that you have painted. You know, like, it's just such a cheery and uplifting picture that you painted. And that's what I saw with a springtime field of tulips.
Thank you, Greg.
Awesome, Greg. And Phil, can we go to you for comment?
Well, Naomi, this is a wonderful piece, very well written. I think that it had a real positive note to it. It was nice to read. You know, you do have to remember to believe in yourself and believe in good things, because, you know, they really are out there. And I think that you said it well.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil.
Great comment there, Phil. And I'd like to thank everybody here. I'd like to say thank Richard for filling in. Thank you, Phil, for helping fill in. Thanks, Aphasiana, for filling the board and running the comments. Running the contest. Thank you, Gray, for calling in. Thank you, Naomi, for calling in. Thank you, Pam, for all that you do.
it really was a village and, you know, a community process here tonight. So I really appreciate it. Pam, why don't we go to you for what you have here in a half hour?
She left.
Or did Pam drop? Pam dropped. Well, we have Pam here in a half hour, and make sure that you don't fall asleep tomorrow night for Fill My Eyes poetry with open poetry. Phil, do you got any final comments?
I just want to let you know, Dex, that I picked up the piece that you put on the board for tonight, and I grabbed it and made hostage of it for tomorrow night's show. So give a call
and
you can read it tomorrow night. Good deal?
Yeah, sounds good. I'll give a call tomorrow. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you,
Naomi. Thank you, Pam. Great job.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Night.
Night.
Good night, all.